Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I would say that the Chicago Bears offseason program, which wrapped up OTAs and mini camps and rookie camps and all that good stuff, wrapped up. And it's training camp full speed ahead in late July. But I would say they gave us a lot to think about, did the Bears. And the little that we did see, and the little news that was made, and things that were said, and just little things that piqued my interest. And to that end, coming up a little bit later on in the show, I have my five most interesting things that I heard during the Bears offseason program. That's my clumsy name for the segment that I just came up with right there on the spot, live on the radio. And I've got audio to go with it, so I will unveil that in a little bit. And I also said, Tyler Farengol, bring me Chris Emma. Chris Emma, the Bears reporter for 670 The Score, does a whole lot more than that, man. He does Cubs games. I've seen him covering White Sox games lately. He's a contributor to the Marquee Sports Network. He is Chris Emma. He's on X at CEmma670. Emma, you do it all, man.
Crotty, what's good, buddy?
Not much, man. Where are you at? You at a game or something? Like, there's no games going on tonight. I sense outdoor
no
presence. Okay. Are you outdoors? It sounds great.
No, I'm not outdoors, but I hope to be a little bit later. It's a beautiful night. It felt like cool off here in the city.
Okay. We noticed a little bit earlier, before the show started, that you were writing about what I think is going to be one of the stronger parts of this team, a part of the secondary, and specifically those safeties, the new guy Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker to be paired up with him. What gives, man? What are you thinking about those guys?
Yeah, going back to the offseason program and hearing Jaquan Brisker answer a question from one Mark Grody, I believe it was, about the positionless nature of this safety position. And look, I think they're seeing this as an opportunity now with a guy like Kevin Byard coming in who more of a free safety type. Brisker has been more of a strong safety type, but they do believe they can play off each other appropriately and kind of switch it up where Brisker can be the guy deep in coverage. Byard can be the guy jumping into the box a little bit. The idea behind it is simply you want to create different looks for quarterbacks and opposing offenses to get confused by. And I think they see this as a way to really disguise some things in coverages and make life really difficult for opposing teams. So I'm curious to see how this goes as you get into training camp and you start getting a sense of how this defense is going to look. And then obviously in September, once you get going with the regular season, but I like the makeup of these two guys playing together. I think it's a really good mix. And keep in mind, like, after the Bears released Eddie Jackson in February, there was a number of really prominent safety names out there. They did not hesitate. They took Kevin Byard right away. In fact, before anybody else was even available to sign, and they made that move. They really believe in Kevin Byard as a figure alongside Jaquan Brisker, and it's going to be really interesting to see how those two play off each other.
What I really love, Emma, about Kevin Byard is that he is playing to win. He's at that point in his career. Look, of course, the money means something still, and I don't, you know, don't dumb that down in any way, shape, or form. But he's one. We know the types, the veteran players who are like, yeah, I still want to keep playing. Byard is here to win. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, without a doubt. He's just a veteran. He's a savvy guy who's been around the league and knows what he's doing. He's a really accomplished player. You're talking about a two-time All-Pro guy who had an incredible season in 2017. 8 interceptions, led the way. He's one of the most accomplished safeties in all the NFL right now, and he's still just 30. Like, he can still play at a high level for this defense, and I think they're really intrigued to see kind of what he can do. I don't know if he's ever going to get back to that peak form, but he's somebody they believe can really play at a high level, and I think in this case, bring out the best in Jaquan Brisker.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you just look at that entire secondary, cornerbacks, nickelbacks, everybody. Like, I can't – like, this is going to be one of those training camps where who knows what's going to happen and what will develop in front of our eyes, but that's just not going to be an area of the team that I'm worried about. We all want to see what Brisker and Byard look like together, but that's just not, you know, like you could almost, you know, erase that or just kind of put that in the back of the book at this point, I would say.
Yeah, look, this secondary is a really good, young, talented group. I'm intrigued to see the way these guys, if you have good health, the way these guys can play all together. And it was fun to see the breakout year of Jalen Johnson last year. And now for him, it's about stacking it. It's about doing it again. Tyreek Stevenson really came out, especially late in the year. 4 picks as a rookie. Can he build on that? Can he take that jump? Kyler Gordon has seemed to get more and more comfortable. And I think he's perfectly fine playing that nickel spot where he feels like he can make a big impact. Now, let's see what he can do in year three now. And then we've touched on the safeties. You got a really good tandem there set. It's a 2-year deal for Byard, so ideally you get those 2 years of high-level play from him alongside Brisker, who, by the way, is entering year three now. You've got some continuity in that group, and not to mention what you have up front in this group, the defensive front that is getting after the quarterback now and ideally taking a really strong jump this season. Talk about that complementary football from front side to back side of your defense and the way these guys can play off each other, and you feel really good about the way this thing's been constructed.
That's the voice of Chris Emma, Bears reporter for 670 The Score, contributor for the Marquee Sports Network. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're going to talk Cubs with Megan Montemurro a little bit later on, 8 o'clock tonight. So after the off-season program wrapped up, Caleb Williams is free to do as he pleases before everybody meets back at training camp towards the end of July. What was your takeaway, your progress report on Caleb Williams from what we got to see and from what we got to hear from him as well?
You felt like he got better, and he certainly got challenged throughout. That was a given. Like, this defense, and you were out there, Mark, this defense did not hold anything back. They were going after him. I love that it was ones against one action. Like, a lot of teams will hold off on that, especially the rookie quarterback. Throw the rookie out against the twos and see how he responds. I like that they put him out there with a really tough challenge, and that defense was talking, and they were loud, and they were getting after it. It's a great test for a young quarterback, and in time during the spring where it doesn't count, you can make those mistakes. You can learn from the film of, well, you know, an interception to get a guy like a Kevin Byard or Tremaine Edmonds, and what did I do wrong? How can I get better from that? I think Caleb Williams certainly improved, and you can see a lot of it just to the naked eye, but obviously so much of it is goes beyond that. It's what are you taking from the field to the classroom, and how are you getting better off it? We know enough about this kid already to know he's driven in a different way, and he wants to learn. He wants to get better. I'm really eager to see how he channels what he took from the offseason program into training camp now, where it's going to be different. The speed picks up. The intensity is there. It's hotter outside. The full pads come on. Like, it's just a different atmosphere once you get into July and August, but he's got something to build on. I think he came away from it in a really good place.
I forget, Emma. Did the Bears have a center? Did they decide on a center, Coleman Shelton or Ryan Bates? I say that facetiously because I thought they did, but they didn't, and everybody's got a different opinion. Do they have the center or not?
I mean, you got to have a position battle, right? That's your position battle, Mark. Oh, you're going to have those two battling it out. Now, there is the interesting connection of that to the right guard spot where Nate Davis has not been available consistently, and you're wondering what you have there. The beauty of getting a guy like Ryan Bates in the mix is that he can slide over to play guard. He can even slide over to play tackle if you want, but that's not ideal. I think in a perfect world, Ryan Bates is your center and Nate Davis is your guard because you paid him $30 million to be that guy. But if Nate Davis is not playing at that level, then you're comfortable putting Ryan Bates in as your starting right guard and Coleman Shelton as your center. And it's a contingency plan. It's good to have. They've not had that kind of quality depth on the offensive line the last 2 years, and they've had that depth tested quite a bit. Take it to the left side at guard as well. Tevin Jenkins has not been consistently available. The injuries have been a factor there. Bates can take that left guard spot too. Then Coleman Shelton's your center again. So you're in a really good place with quality depth in the interior where you've needed to have that depth quite a bit. And If you're a guy like Nate Davis, like, you better be ready for a challenge, because I don't think they're going to be shy about signing him aside if he's not out there consistently and he's not playing at a high level. They really like Ryan Bates, and his versatility is going to matter a great deal.
Yeah, Nate Davis still, for the most part, we see him out there, but never seems to be, except for, you know, a couple of times, a full participant in practice. So something, it seems like it's getting old, and we'll see what does happen. But that's, yeah, that's a huge storyline going into this season as well. You know, beyond Caleb Williams and the offensive line, I think one of the positions that has gotten left out a little bit, because and probably justifiably so, considering you did get Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze and to pair with DJ Moore in that wide receiver room. But as usual, I'm always quietly excited about what's going to be the next step at the tight end position. And is Cole Kmet, who seems to take those jumps every year, like, where is he going to land in the pantheon of NFL tight ends this year? Top 10 guy, MO? Like, what do you think? What are you expecting to see out of him? And, you know, Gerald Everett, for that matter, too. And, you know, the old man is back, too, Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, would you believe me if I told you that Cole Kmet's just 25 years old?
Like, that
is amazing. He's been in the league for 12 years. he's got kind of a veteran presence about him, but he really still is a young ascending player, and he's consistently gotten better throughout the course of his career. 73 catches last year was a career high. 719 receiving yards was also a career high. He was a really reliable target, specifically in the red zone, but obviously third down spots as well. Think about that from a young quarterback's perspective with Caleb Williams. When you have that third down and gotta get it situation, and you've got obviously DJ Moore is your top target, and Keenan Allen has been consistent on third down his whole career, and Roma Dunze out there, and by the way, Cole Kmet there too, who's been a weapon in the passing game and in those kind of key spots where you need him. And Kmet also an excellent inline blocker, a guy who's gotten really better at that throughout his career. I would not bet against Cole Kmet taking another step to being that top 10 or top 5 tight end in the league. Like, he still is a rising young player who I think is going to get better and better.
Last thing for you, Emma, on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, we know we've been talking about it since last season, really, the need for another defensive end or somebody to get to the quarterback unless they are seriously projecting getting that inside pressure from the defense. Does the defense, do you think that they will take, let's just say they don't get somebody else on the roster that you know, the Yannick Ngakoue is not signed. Not that that would move the needle that much, but the defense is as it is. Is there a chance for them to get to the next level, which would be, I think they're good now. I think the next level would be great. Is it possible to get there?
I mean, I think you can, but you got to have that other edge solidified, right? You can't go into the season wondering what you have. And, you know, DeMarcus Walker's a nice player. I think J.K. Martin's somebody who can factor into that mix as a deep reserve, but you need more out of that spot. I think they will sign Yannick Ngakoue back. He's still available. I don't think he's ready to sign until closer to camp, but I think that's a natural fit, and I think the Bears will certainly be interested in a reunion there. But Austin Booker's the guy I'm really keeping my eye on. This kid has really impressed me, Mark. I mean, this is a guy who had, if he stayed in the draft for next year, declared for 2025, he would have been potentially a first-round pick. He's that talented. It's just raw talent right now. He was ready to leave early. He was ready to get to the NFL and develop in this spot. Just getting to know the way he's wired so far, this is a guy who's really genuinely eager to learn. We heard it after he got drafted, talking about everything he knew right away about Travis Smith, and that this is a guy who coached Max Crosby, and I can learn from Coach Smith and from Max, and I can learn from Montez Sweat. And he's really been eyes wide open, ears wide open, doing everything he can to get better. The talent's there, and certainly the want-to is there as well. So they are really bullish on Austin Booker. We know that because Ryan Poles had to trade back in to get him. He was a guy that the Bears could not let slip away and go through when they were out of draft capital for the fifth round and beyond. So they love Austin Booker. They really believe in this kid. I would not count him out to play a key role for this team. We know Matt Eberflus will trust those young guys and those rookies to step into key spots. If Booker is taking the kind of ascension that they believe that he will, he's going to be that guy opposite Montez Sweat.
Yeah, well, hey, man, I hope DeMarcus Walker, you mentioned him, but I hope he's good and angry, man, because I know that when, hell, when they brought in Ngakoue, and I'm sure they're great friends and great team, he was like, yo, like, we don't need to bring that. And he wasn't saying that. I could read it, though, that, of course, that's his job, man. That's the way he looks at it. So I hope that he's got a good good bowl of angry going right now, and that helps to motivate him to get back to where he was the year previous in Tennessee. But, Emma, I'm just looking at my my little betting app here right now, and I just had a quick question for you, and that is,
what do we got?
Is it, am I going, do I take Colton Brewer going in a save situation for the Cubs, or are we looking at Keegan Thompson? So which one of those two guys, or God, man, I bet you can get some really good money if you, well, I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, how about Hayden Wesneski? Give him a try. Just keep mixing it up until you find that guy.
He gives up home runs every time he pitches now, Hayden Wesneski.
Yep.
Every time he comes in, it's like gone.
Man, you're getting me on the deeper soapbox now, but this team missed the playoffs by one game last year with a shaky bullpen. They went into this season with a shaky bullpen, and they got the same shaky results. I don't know what they were expecting. Tanner Scott, line one. Get him from Miami. Bring him into Chicago. That's your closer.
Okay. I like it, Emma. You made it nice and easy for us. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Take care.
Yep, that is Chris Emma from 670thescore.com. Yeah, it's, you know, with Hector Neris, like, I guess it like if we're really talking about this right now, I imagine that it would be Neris getting back in there just because we saw the precedent kind of set with how many opportunities they gave to Alzolay before they said, okay, we got to do something. And in the case of Neris, there isn't another Hector Neris because Neris was the backup plan, right? Like if something happens with Alzolay, doesn't work out, gets injured, okay, you've got Hector Neris. There's nobody behind him that you look at and say, you know, I did like what I saw from Keegan Thompson the other day, the Tuesday game. It was a struck everybody out in the ninth inning. Looked terrific. Like, and specifically, too, watching him working with Yan Gomes, and maybe this had something to do with the trade, but, man, Keegan Thompson was shaking off Yan Gomes a lot. But then when you'd see him shake off Gomes, and then the next pitch would be, you know, slider, strike three. So he had a plan, knew what he was doing. Not that he's not been confident in the past, but he just really looked like he had a plan. And he closed out that Cubs 5-2 win over San Francisco on Tuesday. You know, Tyson Miller probably doing a little bit more than he thought he was going to be doing this year, giving up the Jorge Soler grand slam. And then Colton Brewer ends up getting the save. Congrats to him on getting his first save. But he did walk a couple guys, too. So there's just no confident answer right now. And I'm like anybody, like Hayden Wesneski. He just feels like a guy you root for. I don't know what it is about Hayden Wesneski.
Oh, I totally have that mentality too about Wesneski.
What is it about? Is it because David Haw calls him Wesnasty and we like David Haw? I don't know. Maybe I'm associating some of it with David Haw. That's what
I think. Well, that definitely has something to do with it. No, he's just a guy where, like, I remember him after his start this year. He went six innings.
It's great.
He was really dominant. And after postgame, he said, I didn't deserve to be on this team this year.
Oh,
I knew I needed to work on my stuff and be in a better place. And Grody, that's the exact kind of mentality that someone on this team needs.
That's a great point.
Guys,
man,
who want to work.
He is a he carries himself as a sympathetic character, it seems like. You know?
It is a shame, though, that he's had a couple of rocky outings the last few times.
Yeah, I mean, just every time, like, fast. Like, right, didn't the Cubs just, had they just taken the lead at that point? It was something. It was either the game had been tied and Wesneski comes in and boom, gives up the home run, whatever momentum you had.
Yeah, game two in the seventh inning. The Giants tie it right back up with that home run.
Yes, that's what it was, right? Became 2-2 in that game. Wait, was this the Monday game? The guilty game?
No, actually, you were correct. It was the Monday game.
It was the Monday game.
Yeah. Because then the Cubs took the lead back, the Giants retook the lead, and then the Giants held on to win.
Yeah, well, and that was, okay, now for really doing this, boy, this is a Cub wormhole I did not plan to go into right at the end of a Bears segment, but again, here we are. The Monday game was San Francisco's 7-6 win, where Hector Neris allows the three-run homer in the ninth to Tyro Estrada. Also the game in which Ian Happ hit a three-run homer that felt like one of the biggest three-run homers ever hit at Wrigley Field. Like, think about it. Like, that was, and it shouldn't have been. The circumstances that led to this, what I'm about to say, are bad. But what a thrilling moment that was when Ian Happ hit the three-run homer in the seventh inning, and it looked like you finally had, okay, there's something. There's a nice lead. Here we go. Play the song. Whoop, there it is. There it is. It was just like, and I wasn't at the game. I was watching on television, but it felt loud and crazy and finally, because, and I don't think it's like in that vein of, you know, lovable loser Cubs fans, and finally our team has hit a home run. I think that there is this belief amongst a large contingency of Cubs fans and the players, believe it or not, there's no way this Cubs team is that bad. So I think when you see that, it's relief and confirmation in the back of their brains about what they're thinking about this Cubs team, that they're actually good, that the guy who hit the home run, who looked like he was about to fall out of the lineup, all of a sudden, he's back. Like, Ian Happ is back. He has been back for a while now. It's no longer, you know, walking on thin ice with him. Like, okay, is he was a good day, 2-for-4 yesterday. Is he going to get an 0-for-5 today? But no, Ian Happ is absolutely back. But the problem for the Cubs right now is where they began the season with Adbert Alzolay, the closer situation remains the same, as in they don't really have a closer right now. So there are some big deal things that need to get taken care of. You're still not generating enough offense in terms of relative to the runners and scoring position that were all over the bases in this series. It got better. You had 5 runs or more in each and every one of those games. You also had home runs in each and every one of those games, but there were still missed opportunities to go along the way. The starting pitching, I have no criticism at this moment for what has been going on with the Cubs starting pitching. We do need to take a break. When we come back, come on in if you want. 312-644-6767. If you got something on your mind, if you want to weigh in about the Bulls trading Alex Caruso to Oklahoma City for guard Josh Giddey. But when we return, I have something for you. I did put together the 5 most interesting things I heard during the Bears offseason program. And I've got 6 cuts that I will play for you to highlight the things I want to talk about. So we are talking more Bears next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'm going to tell you what meant the most to me about the Bears offseason program in just a second. Bulls did trade Alex Caruso to Oklahoma City for young point guard Josh Giddey. Talked a lot about that. And I do believe Dave wanted to talk Bulls. Hello, Dave. You're on The Score.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
I'm well, Dave. How are you?
Doing good. This trade, I never heard. I know Alex Caruso, but I didn't know who this other guy was from Oklahoma City. I don't believe I heard his name, but I hope he can help our team get back to the top, and I'd like to see this Bulls team get to the level with Boston. What do you think that's going to take?
Oh, man. I think that they're a long way away from that. I will say that at one point in time, I thought maybe like they've got their Tatum-Brown connection when it was DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, like when that hope had first started. We're really talking about the Bulls getting to Boston's level. I think that they maybe were on some sort of track there, but they got the wrong guys. They got the wrong players. And so, unfortunately, I can't even... Dave, I can't even put my head in a place where I could just sit here and tell you what it would take to get the Bulls to the place where Boston is, who is always right there in the NBA championship game and then finally winning it. I am impressed with the Boston Celtics to have been able to do what they did for a couple of reasons. That it was title or bust for that team. Never mind getting into the finals. Forget about that. None of that matters, especially in a city like Boston. It's the way it should be. It's rough, man. It's really rough because the Boston Celtics were heading towards a special, horrible category of loser. Of loser, as in, yeah, you get to the finals, you get to the championship game, but you lose the championship game. You are the Buffalo Bills. You go to four straight Super Bowls, but you don't win any of them, and that becomes your story. And it's a very complicated way to lose, is what it is. And the Celtics were heading for that. Can't quite finish. Can get you to a certain level, but will not get you beyond that. And I don't care. Like, I'm hearing people talking about they got lucky this year and all of that. It's so weird that is being attached to a team winning a championship. And I'm sure that there's some case for it relative to other seasons and the path that they took to get there and all that. But, like, really now we're going to say that they won the NBA title, and that has become something of a at least a talking point. I don't want to overdo it, but yeah, I was very impressed with what the Boston Celtics were able to do. Let me talk some Bears here now, because yeah, I think that there was more in this off-season program for the Bears than there has been in a while. I think there's always a lot. And I don't want all of us to be like, well, now that Caleb Williams is here, like, it's different. Like, no, I mean, we made a huge, massive deal about offseason programs under Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields and, you know, going back to Jay Cutler as well. But there were five things in particular that I heard during the Bears OTAs and mini camps and things that I saw that I found to be the most interesting. And one of those is, to begin with, is that the center position may not be the only position that is unsettled on this Bears offensive line right now.
I mean, there's been a lot of moving parts at right guard this spring, some due to necessity, some due to experimentation. When you've seen Pryor, Bates, Nate, how do you see that position sort of sorting itself out as you get closer to the regular season?
Yeah, don't know yet. I really don't know. I think that we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm just thinking through my head a bunch of multiple combinations. I really don't know exactly what that could look like. Sure, we had Bates there. He's played there. You know, Sheldon's played at center. Of course, you know, Davis has played there. You know, Tevin's been on the other side. So there's, you know, Pryor's been in and been out. You know, so the versatility there is certainly helpful. And, you know, Ryan did a really good job of having those pieces in there. So we don't, like last year or prior years, you know, a guy goes down for a couple weeks, then we're like, oh, you know, what are we going to do? So at least we have that flexibility now at the O-line position.
Nate isn't the expected starter.
I'm sorry?
Nate isn't the expected starter at right guard.
Yeah, he's been our starter, right? You know, so I expect him to be in there.
Oh, that was not convincing from Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. It sounds like they are thinking about maybe moving on from Nate Davis as a starter at right guard with all those names that he said, and even the way he answered the question there at the, oh, yeah, he's been starting. You guys could see that. So I would say that there is a situation brewing at the right guard position. We don't know specifically why, what is going on, that they're not happy with Nate Davis. Like I said, we haven't seen him as a full participant much from what we have been allowed to see in the Bears' practices so far in the offseason. So I find that fascinating. We've seen a lot of Matt Pryor out there, veteran offensive lineman. Jatari Carter has been bouncing around a bit. I don't know that they look at him as starting caliber. You do have to think about the rookie, too, Karan Amagaji, though I'm a little skeptical that all of a sudden he can miss the offseason program and then come to camp, be full blast, and be caught up. So I hate to say it, but I just think Karan Amagaji is going to be behind this year. But the name needs to be brought up. But I thought that was fascinating that Matt Eberflus said that and the way he said it. The next thing of my most intriguing things that I heard during the Bears offseason program, number two, is something that Chris Emma mentioned too and was writing about on 670thescore.com. And that's Kevin Byard and his, what I'll call, a new vision for the way he and Jaquan Brisker should play the safety position.
That's one thing I like about playing with him, because I know a little bit of last year was kind of like Bojack was kind of in the back or whatever. He was kind of in the box. I don't want to see that this year, at least for us early on, just kind of working. Hey, let's be versatile. I don't want teams to get a beat on, hey, you're in the box or I'm deep or anything like that. Let's both do the same things, so teams can't really get a beat on, you know, what the coverage is. So he's been really good with that. He's vocal like I am about wanting the details of different coverages with the coaches and stuff like that. So he's very coachable. Like I say, he's fun to play with, and all the guys in the secondary is like that. So that's what you want. And like I said, the confidence that he has going to year three reminds me of myself.
Is that something that the coaching staff is stressing upon you guys about, like, not having, like, more defined roles?
No, I think it's just, I mean, that's what the league is now. You want guys to be versatile. And like I said, I think it's a lot for quarterbacks and things like that. Like, as you watch film, teams are looking for any type of keys or clues to tell what type of defense these guys are going to run. Hey, when we see this guy line up here, this is the coverage. So we don't want to be able to give that away. We want to be able to be versatile and, you know, try to make it hard for offenses.
I love that from Kevin Byard. And you know, in an ideal world, is that the best way for them to play safety? I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I just love the fact that Byard has got a vision and that he saw the way Brisker and Eddie Jackson played and appreciates the game. And, you know, Kevin Byard is one of those guys that you love having on the roster because he is here to win. Everybody wants to extend their career so they can make some money. But, you know, I know the look of a veteran that's been around for a decade. And he's here for different reasons. He wants to see that big paycheck too every 2 weeks, but it's a different force when you have guys that are veterans in the building. They are not playing around. He's one of those guys that he is here to win. Will he be great? I have no idea. No idea, but I do know what a guy like that, I understand what Kevin Byard's intention is, and that is to not, it's not so much about him as it may be for other younger players. He's here to make other players better and to win with the Bears. And I love the concept. I love that idea of the positionless safety, is what Kevin Byard is kind of saying right there. Let's move on to defense. If you listen to me enough, I characterize the Bears' defense from last year overall as good. I don't think the Bears' defense was great, certainly not elite if I can't even give them great. So good has been my word, and that's a word I heard from Chicago Bears defenders as well. Specifically, Tremaine Edmonds said, yes, he used the word. He's my word, man. Good. The defense is not great yet. Here's Tremaine Edmonds.
You characterized the defense as being good last year.
Right.
What would it take to make it a great defense or an elite defense? Like, what has to happen specifically?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we play this game for, a win, you know, be dominant. I mean, we was dominant at times, but I'm talking about from start to finish. You know, obviously coming off, you know, just getting to a hot start, you know, starting fast and, you know, not waiting. And, you know, I think that's the work we're putting in now. You know, we got it at our advantage right now. Taking it one day at a time. Understand it's going to be ups and downs, man. That's the lead. You know what I mean? Everybody goes through that, but those are the times that make you who you are, and that's what we're building on right now.
I think what I like most of that is not necessarily the answer that he gave right there, but just the fact that he understands it, that, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, a veteran, another one of those guys that gets it. Yeah, we were good. There is another level to be had with this Bears defense, and you know, they does feel like they are a player or two short right now to get to the level of great, unless, you know, there's too many caveats right now, unless DeMarcus Walker has a breakout season, unless they are able to apply more pressure that gets home from the center of the defensive line, like from Jervon Dexter or Zach Pickens, or even to a lesser degree, Andrew Billings, Big Bill. Like that is, I mean, that's their ideal. That's what they're talking about, but that's not something you could just depend on. So you need to see individual development from specifically Jervon Dexter and hope that DeMarcus Walker is better, and then maybe you get to that level. But until further notice with this team, this Bears defense is good. Moving on, number four, I got two more for you here. Some Bears business surfaced during this offseason program for two players. First one is Keenan Allen. And how long is he actually going to be around with the Bears? Keenan Allen signed through this year. And he was asked the question, are you thinking about how much longer you want to play? And might it be with the Chicago Bears? Here's the Bears wide receiver, Keenan Allen.
kind of tough to answer right now, but I'm going to play as long as I can. You know, as far as extension, we would like to play, speak for itself, and you know, if they offer me something that I like, then you know, we'll go from there.
Are you okay with the idea if this is a contract year, going out and proving it and looking for that next deal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the goal right now. Just to go out and do what I always do, and you know, just try to remain who I am. And the market just got reset, so.
On that note, what are your thoughts on, especially for veteran players, like the market for wide receivers keeps evolving, especially the last couple of years?
That's huge. I mean, it's big for the game. Christian McCaffrey just went for 19. That's huge for a running back. And, you know, as long as those numbers continue to go up, the players are going to obviously continue to get better. They're younger, you know, bigger, stronger, faster. And, you know, they continue to raise the bar. So as long as they're taking care of their job, you know, and vets like me, we just continue to do what we do, take the back seat, and, you know, get paid as well.
Crafty. That's Keenan Allen. And in case you don't know the context of the laughter and the joke that Keenan Allen told, that was right when Justin Jefferson, the Minnesota Vikings wide receiver, had signed his mega extension with Minnesota. So that was something that he was referring to as an, okay, the market has absolutely been reset. My gut is that you're not going to hear much about Keenan Allen re-signing during the season. I think that is something that could be dealt with after the year. We'll see. I mean, who knows? But that's just my gut in terms of Keenan Allen is probably not part of the core in for the future of the Bears, I don't think. And you know, obviously, a lot of that is age, too. But he is going to be a big, huge part of the Bears this year. And who knows? Who knows beyond this year? But that's where I would probably temper it right now. All right. We need to take a break. When we come back, though, I've still got two more to go. I've got one more business item here about the Bears, another player whose future is who knows at this point. We'll talk about that. And then my final and fifth most interesting thing I heard during the Bears offseason program. I'm Mark Grody. This is The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Tomorrow at 6 p.m. is the premiere of A Salute to Sandberg. I'll be hosting a one-hour documentary honoring the legacy of Ryan Sandberg before his statue is unveiled at Wrigley Field on Sunday. That's tomorrow from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on your home of the Cubs, 670 The Score, and the Odyssey app. We've been working on this project for a while, and it will sprout on The Score at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Back to a couple more Bears things. I was going through my most interesting things that I've heard during the Bears offseason program. Talked about the fact that right guard seems to be up for grabs right now. Not necessarily Nate Davis's gig anymore. Kevin Byard, the way he's talking about playing positionless safety with Jaquan Brisker. Tremaine Edmonds admitting the defense is good, not great, and needs to get to the next level. And we have arrived at the business portion of my takeaways. Keenan Allen, whom we just played for you, seems up in the air as far as his future is concerned with the Bears right now and his future in general. And then that brings us to Tevin Jenkins, whose contract is up after this year.
What's your mindset entering this year? You know, last year, your contract, everything you've gone through, what's kind of
mindset hard? This year? Stay healthy. That's number one. That's the most importance for me right now. Stay healthy, get through the whole 17 games, and continue my strong play from last year and be a more consistent, reliable guy.
Have you guys talked to the Bears about an extension yet?
We reached out, yeah. None's on the table.
How do you feel? Where do you feel things stand between you and the administration about having a future here?
Up in the air. Can't tell you.
Yeah, so it sounds like, just from what Tevin Jenkins was saying right there, that they have approached the Bears and they are not getting a whole lot of feedback at this point for Tevin Jenkins. So we shall see, but I am fascinated to learn what the future of Tevin Jenkins is in terms, because this will tell us something about Ryan Poles and how important he looks at you know, because it's not his guy. I get that. But in terms of, you know, can you just get other guards easily, or should you pay a second, you know, you'd be paying a second guard because you are paying Nate Davis as well. This will tell you something about how much he values that spot or how much is left in the bank when they put together their blueprint for a team. So a lot of reasons why I think that that is interesting. Finally, my last takeaway from the most interesting things during the offseason program that occurred, why don't I just let Bears head coach Matt Eberflus tell you?
And then Hard Knocks. Yep, so Hard Knocks, the big announcement yesterday. I talked to the team about that because I've been involved in that before, and I believe that NFL Films and HBO does an outstanding job of getting their message out, okay, of the team. And we're going to be proud of that message because I'm proud of these guys. And I'm proud of this organization. You know, we have a bunch of really good people here in the building, not only the football players, because we have guys that love football, but also the support staff, you know, from TMAD to our performance staff to our strength staff. And those are all going to be good things because we have guys that love football, that love each other, and respect the game and play it the right way. So we're excited about getting that going. Again, we're going to maintain our focus on our business, and that's to get ready for the season. But we have a really good plan in place for that, you know, with Ted Cruz coming on board and all that. We got a lot of really good professionals to be able to work through that as we go through it.
Given the experience you had there, are there things that you noted that you want to be mindful of with an extra presence here in the building and just trying to manage that for the group collectively?
Yeah, I mean, you always got to have some, you know, you have some hard conversations sometimes, you know, in the building, and those have to be done in private. And what's nice about it is we have a great plan in place for that. You know, everybody who goes on Hard Knocks has editing rights to what goes in and out and all those things, and that's the standard. We have a good plan.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe a little disappointing when you hear at the end that HBO the teams, I should say, have final editing rights, that they'll collaborate and nothing crazy is going to, they're not going to let anything nutty happen on camera. That's for sure. But what I am looking forward to, what I can't wait.
And then Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. That's right. What I really can't wait for, though, when it comes to Hard Knocks, is just to see what their perspective is. Like, it's just like always watching a national broadcast. You always want to see what do they think is interesting about the Bears or Hallis Hall or Lake Forest or Chicago or the state. Like, what is interesting? And we know Caleb Williams is very interested, but just in terms of what shots are taken, and I will enjoy looking at that and say, oh yeah, we were there. We're going in they love the Walter Payton Center. Well, I'll be damned. They're going to go. Oh, they love that hill out there on fields 3 and 4. They're really into that. It'll be fascinating to see what they are interested in, their perspective. And you heard, you know, Matt Eberflus talking about Tony Medlin, who's the longtime equipment manager, and calling him the equipment manager doesn't really do justice to all the things that Tony Medlin does. He is an important part of the organization. I know that because just having been around, players love him, and he survives every regime because he just does his job really well. So he's an interesting guy. Who knows what they'll zero in on, but I am interested. I'm also interested in the Chicago Cubs. That said, on an off day, everybody getting to take a deep breath in Cubs land, the Cubs back on tomorrow when they host the Mets. We'll bring in Megan Montemurro, Cubs beat writer for the Chicago Tribune, next on The Score.
And then Hard Knocks.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Tomorrow at 6 p.m. is the premiere of A Salute to Sandberg. I'll be hosting a one-hour documentary honoring the legacy of Ryan Sandberg before his statue is unveiled at Wrigley Field on Sunday. That's tomorrow from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on your home of the Cubs, 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. We've been working on this project for a while, and it will sprout on The Score at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Back to a couple more Bears things. I was going through my most interesting things that I've heard during the Bears offseason program. Talked about the fact that right guard seems to be up for grabs right now. Not necessarily Nate Davis's gig anymore. Kevin Byard, the way he's talking about playing positionless safety with Jaquan Brisker. Tremaine Edmonds admitting the defense is good, not great, and needs to get to the next level. And we have arrived at the business portion of my takeaways. Keenan Allen, whom we just played for you, seems up in the air as far as his future is concerned with the Bears right now and his future in general. And then that brings us to Tevin Jenkins, whose contract is up after this year.
What's your mindset entering this year? You know, last year, your contract, everything you've got. What's kind of
mindset right? This year? Stay healthy. That's number one. That's the most importance for me right now. Stay healthy, get through the whole 17 games, and continue my strong play from last year and be a more consistent, reliable guy.
Have you guys talked to the Bears about an extension yet?
We reached out, yeah. None's on the table.
How do you feel? Where do you feel things stand between you and the administration about having a future here?
Up in the air. Can't tell you.
Yeah, so it sounds like, just from what Tevin Jenkins was saying right there, that they have approached the Bears and they are not getting a whole lot of feedback at this point for Tevin Jenkins. So we shall see, but I am fascinated to learn what the future of Tevin Jenkins is in terms, because this will tell us something about Ryan Poles and how important he looks at, you know, next, because it's not his guy. I get that. But in terms of, you know, can you just get other guards easily, or should you pay a second, you know, you'd be paying a second guard because you are paying Nate Davis as well. This will tell you something about how much he values that spot or how much is left in the bank when they put together their blueprint for a team. So a lot of reasons why I think that is interesting. Finally, my last takeaway from the most interesting things during the offseason program that occurred, why don't I just let Bears head coach Matt Eberflus tell you?
And then Hard Knocks. Yep, so Hard Knocks, the big announcement yesterday. I talked to the team about that because I've been involved in that before, and I believe that NFL Films and HBO does an outstanding job of getting their message out, okay, of the team. And we're going to be proud of that message because I'm proud of these guys. And I'm proud of this organization. You know, we have a bunch of really good people here in the building, not only the football players, because we have guys that love football, but also the support staff, you know, from TMAD to our performance staff to our strength staff. And those are all going to be good things because we have guys that love football, that love each other, and respect the game and play it the right way. So we're excited about getting that going. Again, we're going to maintain our focus on our business, and that's to get ready for the season. But we have a really good plan in place for that, you know, with Ted Cruz coming on board and all that. We got a lot of really good professionals to be able to work through that as we go through it.
Given the experience you had there, are there things that you noted that you want to be mindful of with an extra presence here in the building and just trying to manage that for the group collectively?
Yeah, I mean, you always got to have some, you know, you have some hard conversations sometimes, you know, in the building, and those have to be done in private. And what's nice about it is we have a great, great plan in place for that. You know, everybody who goes on Hard Knocks has editing rights to what goes in and out and all those things, and that's the standard. But we have a good plan.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe a little disappointing when you hear at the end that HBO the teams, I should say, have final editing rights, that they'll collaborate and nothing crazy is going to, they're not going to let anything nutty happen on camera. That's for sure. But what I am looking forward to, what I can't wait.
And then Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. That's right. What I really can't wait for, though, when it comes to Hard Knocks, is just to see what their perspective is. Like, it's just like always watching a national broadcast. You always want to see what do they think is interesting about the Bears or Hallis Hall or Lake Forest or Chicago or the state. Like, what is interesting? And we know Caleb Williams is very interested, but just in terms of what shots are taken, and I will enjoy looking at that and say, oh yeah, we were there. We're going in the, they love the Walter Payton Center. Well, I'll be damned. They're going to go, oh, they love that hill out there on fields 3 and 4. They're really into that. It'll be fascinating to see what they are interested in, their perspective. And you heard you know, Matt Eberflus talking about Tony Medlin, who's the longtime equipment manager, and calling him the equipment manager doesn't really do justice to all the things that Tony Medlin does. He is an important part of the organization. I know that because just having been around, players love him, and he survives every regime because he just does his job really well. So he's an interesting guy. Who knows what they'll zero in on, but I am interested. I'm also interested in the Chicago Cubs. That said, on an off day, everybody getting to take a deep breath in Cubs land. The Cubs back on tomorrow when they host the Mets. We'll bring in Megan Montemurro, Cubs beat writer for the Chicago Tribune, next on The Score.
And then Hard Knocks.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.